ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Drawing Heat, and the time is now! Hit the music!
Haha, you're very funny, fat boy.
I think it's nice of you to call Beige a Disney queen.
These two are definitely not dumb.
And now, here are your hosts, Beej and the Dude.
Hello, and welcome to Drawing Heat. This is the Dude. I'm joined by my co-pilot, my co-host, my compadre, my man with the plan, the Beej. How you doing, Beej?
I'm doing good, dude. How are you today?
I am fantastic. We're joined today by the one and only, the man with the other plan, the sexiest man alive, Bodie McKenzie. How you doing, Bodie?
Very well. Two out of those three nicknames are true.
Which ones?
You can. I can leave that to your imagination, I suppose.
No, I was thinking,
don't do that because I'll have to leave.
The sexiest man.
I thought he was introducing Shawn Michaels, so who knows what's going on.
The heartbreak kid, Bodie McKenzie.
I wish I was Shawn Michaels.
So how's the drive up from Margaret River, man? Because we're up in your dad's house in Fremantle.
Yes, yeah, it was actually all right. I live here most of the time now after my brother...
kicked you in the nuts?
Kicked me in the nuts on three separate occasions. I kind of had enough of Margaret River and... all the nut kicking that goes on. So.
Wait, yeah, he's a dick.
We're fabing this, are we?
No.
What's going on?
No, I live in Fremantle.
No, we'll fave the first 3 seconds.
I was going to say, after this season, I wouldn't admit to living in Fremantle this year either.
Finished on a high note, so.
That's right. You got a South Fremantle supporter in your house. How's it feel?
It's not me. Yeah, it's a bit disgusting, realistically.
Go doggies. Anyway, so we're here with Bodie. Now, you're going to Calgary... Alberta, Canada. in a week.
Pause.
to train with the acclaimed Lance T. Storm at the Storm Wrestling Academy.
Remember, the T stands for thunder.
Classic jokes, yeah. Classic jokes.
Getting him out of the way first. Just getting him all out of the way.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are. Cool. So what happened there? How did that all come about, man?
So I always wanted to go international, and North America was always kind of my goal. And I mean, it goes a long way back. I've had conversations with a lot of guys about the best way to go about kind of building your name up and getting to a level where you can be noticed, you know, around Australia and elsewhere. And instead of just going to the States and getting booked on all the crappy shows that I could in front of 10 people, I decided that it'd be better to go and train. And then I thought, you know, where else than the Storm Wrestling Academy?
All right, so did you have to apply for that? How did that come about?
Yeah, you do have to apply. So I decided on, funny enough, for some reason I remember it was Australia Day in probably 2 years ago, Australia Day 2 years ago. So well in advance, and you just kind of have to apply and send photos of yourself and your height, your weight and stuff like that, and not nude photos.
I was gonna say, it starts to sound like, what's that dating site? Friggin'...
I don't know.
Nope. I'm asking the single man amongst us.
I don't use them.
No words. Come on, help me out. Harmony or some shit. E-Harmony, that's the one.
Do you have to give your stats there, do you? Wrestling experience?
I have no idea what your signature move is.
And, yeah.
You know, what your go-to position is. I don't know.
How are you gonna finish them?
Yeah. Or where are you going to finish? are you a cum falls anywhere or something? I don't know.
Is this not the PG podcast?
No, you can say whatever the fuck you like, man. Sorry.
Fuck yeah. No. So I applied, I think, 18 months ago, and then... that started the whole process, and it's a long process. You have to, so you apply, you find out whether you're in or not, and then you have to obviously pay and stuff like that. And it's, it takes a long time, and it's a lot of emailing back and forth. And because there's a time difference, it's a lot of waiting and stuff. And yeah, it's been a long process. I'm stoked that it's finally here.
When did you find out you're actually going? When was it all confirmed?
Oh, it was probably a week after I applied. So
not that long then?
No, not that long. No, that wasn't long. That kicked off the long process. Yeah. Not that one.
Okay, right, yeah. Because, I mean, I think, well, Jared Slate, he's a graduate of the Storm Academy, isn't he?
Yep.
Who else? A couple of others have been there. We're only talking about it the other way.
Yeah, I mentioned all the chicks, so I'm not going to mention all the chicks again, because you have a dig at me for just knowing the chicks.
Yeah, there's the...
They're the only... I know Emma.
Any other dudes? Any dudes gone?
Yeah, there's a few. There's so Jared Slate did it, as you said, and then Ryan Rollins did it. He's Australian Suicide now.
Yep.
In AAA.
Oh, that bloke, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Kellyanne did it. She's not, not a dude, obviously.
She's cool, though.
Yeah, she is very cool.
I'd never heard of Australian Suicide until, like, just a couple of days ago when he won the big tournament over at AAA, yeah.
Yeah, so you didn't see him wrestle when he was in Australia?
No.
No. He was here. He was in EPW for one of the State of Origins. I think it was Carlo Cannon, Adam Brooks, and Ryan Rollins.
Is it on Vimeo yet?
I'm sure it's on
Vimeo. If it's on the vault
for 9.99 a month.
2013, maybe. Yeah. I was just training then. I hadn't had my first match.
They won that match, didn't they?
They did.
Bastards.
Actually, I think I might have actually seen that one. I think I might actually have that one.
Actually, funny enough, on live as we're having this conversation, I've just actually remembered that I think that was the first time I ever was really told in depth about the Storm Wrestling Academy. It was from Ryan Rollins when he was here. I'm sure he doesn't remember. I hadn't had a match yet by then. I was just a trainee setting up the ring and stuff like that. But he explained his time there, and he talked about how much it helped him and stuff like that. And so that was probably the first time the idea was put in my head.
Yeah, because the Storm Wrestling Academy gets a lot of notice and attention from like WWE and TNA and stuff like that because of the level of training and the quality and stuff. So are you hoping, once you finish your 3 months, that you might get looked at from one of those dudes?
Absolutely. It's definitely, that's part of the dream, obviously. It's every, like, I think that people are lying if they say they don't at least want to have a crack at the WWE. But I'm also realistic, and I know that I'm not going to finish the 12 weeks at the Storm Wrestling Academy, and I'm not going to be Dwayne Johnson the day after. So
practice your eyebrow raises.
Yeah, I can't even eyebrow raise. So
I can't
no
either.
Chance.
It's fucked.
I dropped an elbow once and I missed. And I meant to hit it. So I'm not Dwayne Johnson. But after
just the once.
That's why I never dropped another elbow.
Oh, dejected.
So I'd love to work up to a tryout maybe, I don't know, in the next few years. But the Storm Wrestling Academy thing is purely for a few reasons, like I just want to develop as a wrestler. I just want to be a better wrestler. And whether that means I get a job or I don't get a job somewhere when it's all said and done, I want to be able to say that I was the best wrestler that I could have been. I always wanted to be... I didn't want to half-ass it. So I want to make sure that I'm the best wrestler I can possibly be, and that will give me the best opportunities that I can get. And it's also, I've never traveled on my own. I've never done things like that. So it's just life experience. And yeah, it's just going to be... It's a big deal for me. It's... Yeah.
It's not a bad thing to have on your CV either.
No, absolutely not, yeah.
No, so, well, I mean, everybody we've spoken to is probably super proud of you for doing this, but you're not actually going...
Did you speak to my dad?
Not yet, I haven't found him. Apparently, you said he was in the basement or something. Yeah. I have no idea. This house is massive and mirrors and secret passageways and stuff everywhere. I don't know what the hell's going on. But you're not actually going alone. You're dragging some compadres with you, aren't you? Who's going?
I have dragged a few compadres with me. So I'm bringing the Solution Zone, Liam Mendel.
He's not just the Solution Zone. He's Heroes of Future Past.
He's one half of Heroes of Future Past. Yeah, he is.
I love that gimmick name. It's so good.
It wasn't actually my idea. I didn't even get it. I'm not a comic book guy, really. Oh. So, yeah, sorry to disappoint. So, I didn't really get it that much. I've probably just alienated half of the wrestling fans that think I'm an absolute flog now.
Half the wrestling fans, about three-quarter of the locker room as well.
So Liam Mendel's coming with me. And Jay Taylor as well. I've just name dropped his real name.
Oh no, not JT.
Sorry, JT. Yeah, the Prince of Perth, the real sexiest man alive.
Aha.
Is also joining.
The co-sexiest man alive.
Because we were having a discussion a couple of weeks ago about whether JT had already been there, because I'm sure that they mentioned on commentary on one of the older EPW shows that he was a Storm Academy graduate.
Maybe it was just his gimmick.
Maybe it was, yeah.
He's definitely never been there, so unless they were just... kayfabing.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
Who else is supposed to go with you this time? We heard one Taylor King was supposed to go, but he was a bit slack on his fees. What's going on?
Yeah, Taylor King was supposed to go. He's the only man in history to defer from uni and not save a single dollar in the time that he deferred to save.
It's all those haircuts he gets.
It's all the haircuts he gets.
They can't be cheap.
And the protein shakes. He smashes a few of those as well. But, for reasons that he only knows, he didn't come, and that's fine. It's it's a big sacrifice monetarily, and it's a lot of time as well. And we both attend university as well, so he'd have to put his studies on hold again. And so the timing just wasn't right for him, so he's not coming. And then Unfortunately, the outlaw, Billy Williams.
That's right. He was supposed to go too.
He was supposed to go, but yeah, he got injured. And
I was going to say, AP Dub would have lost like a good half of their mid card as well if everyone.
They'd be calling us up if they lost all those guys.
We're available.
Big shame about Billy Williams. I was really hoping that he'd come and and I was in the match. I gave him the move that hurt his knee. So,
so it's your fault.
I feel especially horrible.
You should defer from this year too, then.
I know. Wait and go with
him. Sit by his bedside and hold his hand till he's ready to go.
He's a great performer. I'm sure he'll be back.
Yeah. He will. When do they take classes? Is it every year or every year and a half?
It's,
or
yeah,
what is
three
it?
Times a year.
Three times a year. Yeah. Oh, that's okay. It's not too long to.
Yeah, there's a January class and a May class and then a September class.
Because, I mean, Storm is, he is the trainer there, isn't he? He's very hands-on with it.
Yep, from what I understand from the people that I've spoken to that have been there, he's in the ring taking bumps every day and
Yeah,
from stage one to the end, he's the one that's.
Because I think I've heard that apparently he even picks you up from the airport and stuff as well. It's one of the stories I've heard. I don't know if that's true or not.
So Liam Mandel is in charge of all that. He's the dad of the operation. And yeah, he informed me that he's picking us up from the airport, so that saves taxi money. And
that's pretty fucking cool.
It is pretty fucking cool. I'm trying not to be a mark about it, but
yeah.
I'll be marking that a little bit in the back seat. I'll be throwing super kicks to Liam in the back seat and single leg Boston crabs and whatnot.
Single leg crabs and super kicks.
Canadian crab. What did he call it? The maple leaf crab?
I was going to say the Texas maple leaf, but that makes sense.
Texas maple leaf.
Is it going to be hard for you to think being over there with him and just trying not to be an absolute fanboy the entire time, just saying, I'm here in the ring with Lance Storm?
I think once Lance slams him once, he gets that right out of his system.
Yeah.
Has it kind of kicked in there yet?
Yeah. The thing is, I had the same thing with EPW, really, because I was such a big fanboy of EPW before I started that, and after a while, I just learned that I'm only going to get the chance once to train with these guys, and so if I'm spending the whole time, loving myself and thinking how great this is, that's not the ideal way to go about it. So I'm trying to take it as seriously as I can and be as professional as I can, because...
Like and I Lance said, is very good at being serious.
Yeah, I think he's serious for a minute at a time. 60 minutes out of the hour, I suppose.
Every hour he's serious for 65 minutes.
Yeah. That would have been a good Vice fact.
Damn, I was just going to say that, actually. Yeah.
Damn Vice and his facts. There's too many to actually put in a top 10.
Mm.
There's like 140,000 Vice
facts. We did
have
to cull the list a bit.
We did.
He's a man of many facts.
Yeah. But so yeah, Storm Academy, it's going to be fantastic for you, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's a huge step for me, and hopefully it everything that I hoped it would be, that it is. So.
Now, funnily enough, you're paying, what, $3,000? Is it $3,000 Australian or $3,000 Canadian?
Canadian,
which was funny. Balloons or Dalooms, Dablooms, whatever.
Loonies.
The Loonies?
Yeah.
All right. Funny enough, funny fact, he paid 3,000 Loonies to Keith Hart when he trained with the Hart... family bloody wrestling thing in 1990.
Is that right?
It is exactly the same price.
The Hart Brothers wrestling camp in inverted commas.
Where, according to Chris Jericho, Keith Hart stretched him for a minute and then fucked off.
Yeah, I have heard that story, actually. I've had a weird obsession with the Harts forever. I don't know if you guys know this, but my favorite wrestler in the whole world is Teddy Hart, and I'm probably the only person in the whole world that loves Teddy Hart. A lot of people don't even know.
I think
that was
the wrong Hart I would have picked for you.
Yeah,
man.
That's like the absolute
I'm obsessed
wrong
with
Dallas Hart would have been a closer fucking pick or something.
No, I want to do moonsaults off a cage and vomit on people. I love Teddy Hart.
He likes cats.
I was thinking he was going to go with Helen, but
he's into older chicks.
Diana was pretty.
I'll pay that one.
Was that Davey's wife?
That was Davey.
I was watching SummerSlam 92 on the weekend with my young fella, and I just thought, yeah, she was pretty good.
For 1992 chicks?
Yeah, shoulder pads and all.
Yeah, held up well.
let's go back in time, shall we, Beach? To the time when you first discovered EPW and the Dynamite Factory.
Okay. As a fan or of both?
Let's lead into both, man, because obviously you were a fan as you're... I don't want to say as your child, but fucking...
I pretty much was.
That was like two years ago.
In the younger days. Okay, so you went to a few shows, fucking marked out over, all the greats, Jimmy Payne and...
Yeah. Carlo Cannon's another one that went to the Lance's school, because he was one of my favorites.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, did he? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He was actually Lance's first student, from what I understand.
His first one?
He was in the first class, yeah.
Shit.
Wow.
Have you guys ever heard of World of Hurt?
World of Hurt?
Lance Storm had it was a reality show that was about the Storm Wrestling Academy.
Really? No.
Carlo, it was a 10-episode thing. Emma was on it. Carlo was
like
on
a
it.
Tough enough type thing, was
kind
it?
Of. Kind of. It's a strange.
Like
it's a bit
jackass
of a strange.
Wrestling.
Just Lance stretching everyone out, pretty much.
Just Lance being
Hi,
serious.
Hi, I'm Steve-O. I'm going to swallow this fish and get put in a half crab.
Not a half fish and a half crab?
Yeah, I won't waste time on it.
It's a fisherman's basket.
I won't waste too much time on it, but have a look at it. It's entertaining.
All right, put the link up, Beach. World of Hurt.
World of Hurt.
Do it now.
Okay, sure.
Fuck. But yeah, to answer your question, so... I had a friend, still do have a friend.
You got
one
friends?
One singular friend.
Just the one.
Yeah, I have a friend that we played football together and stuff like that. And he's just, as long as I can remember, he's been a mate of mine. And he always loved wrestling and I always loved wrestling. But he took it a bit deeper than I did. I was just purely into the Hardy Boys and that was about it really. But he started watching indie wrestling and stuff like that and got a hold of the Ring of Honor and stuff and... Eventually, he found his way to an EPW show, and he was going for about a year, and he was trying to get me along the whole time he was going along, and I always kind of put it off because, you know, I was more interested in girls and stuff like that, and just being a young...
Girls? Man. Wrestling fans and girls? What?
What?
No.
I didn't get any. I was interested in them.
You just followed him around.
Oh, right.
But eventually, I said, I think it was just purely because I was sick of him bothering me, that I said, fine, I'll come. And... The first show I ever went to was Hell or High Water 2000 and maybe 10. Could have been 10.
All right, what was the main event of that? Can you remember?
It was David Stoll's last match. So it was probably 2011. His retirement.
Before he went. Yeah.
His inverted bracket.
inverted commas or whatever.
His bunny years.
Yeah, retirement.
bunny years.
The first match on the card, though, was Alex Kingston and Carl Seria in a false count anywhere. Jeez. And I remember... Like, I thought the Hardy Boys were cool. These guys were, you know, you've seen Alex Kingston.
Yeah, Kingston's a bad motherfucker, man.
He's fucking insane. So, yeah, that blew my mind, that match. And then I didn't miss a show for probably 2 years after that. I made sure I was free on Saturday nights once a month. That was at the Vasto Club in Balcata. Did you guys ever go to the...
I think I maybe went to one show.
Because you had a break in between...
Yeah, I've been going on and off since stays for the last 15 odd years.
He retired when Storm did.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So 2 years I probably spent going to shows. Yeah, that would be about right. So 2011, 12, I spent going to shows. And then in 2012, that's when you're 17, that's your last year of junior footy that you can play. So I was still playing footy every week and I was taking it fairly seriously. But that was around that time. So you can kind of go up the ranks in footy. You go through the development squads and stuff like that. And once you finish the development squads, that's when the Colts come around
and
they start recruiting.
Yeah.
So I finished all the development squads. And but in the last development squad year, I think it's a 6-game tournament. I think I played 2 games. So it just wasn't working out. So they invited me to the Colts tryout. But honestly, even looking back now, I wasn't a chance to play. So I do feel like I made the right decision, thank God. So I went to... I skipped out on footy training and I went to the EPW Open night. And everybody was there. Marcus Pitt was there. Bobby Marshall was actually there. Just rolling around training and stuff like that. And Dave sat us all down. David Storm sat us all down. And he explained kind of everything, how it works, how much you have to pay, all that kind of fun stuff.
How much is it?
$20,000 a week. No, I don't know anymore.
I think you're ribbing us, buddy.
I don't know why I said that. I want people to train.
$1 million.
First hour is free.
And the ride to the hospital is free as well.
Yeah, and then so that was at the end of 2012, and then in February of 2013, I signed up and I started. Me and my mate started, the mate that I'd been going the whole time with. And he trained about 2 weeks and then Jay Taylor body slammed him out of EPW.
So I was going to ask what happened to your mate because he told me this earlier and I wasn't sure if you're going to actually want to tell that story.
I'm going to shout him out because he'll probably listen to this.
Go on, shout him out. What's
so his name's Mitch Dux.
Mitch Dukes.
Mitch Dux. Duxie, everyone calls him.
Is he related to Frank?
I have no idea. Who's
Frank?
No, Frank
Dukes from Bloodsport, man.
Well, I'm probably too young, I'm sorry.
Oh, fuck. I forget you're only like... 12.
Yeah.
God damn it.
He's got the Van Damme hair going, though.
Yeah.
All right. Frank Dukes was a kick-ass martial artist played by Jean-Claude Van Damme in the movie Bloodsport. Okay, based on a true story.
I have heard of the movie. Don't think I've seen it. I haven't seen
it. Go watch it before they make a fucking remake or something. They are. Fuck it up.
With Justin Bieber.
They are doing a remake and Batista's in it.
Really?
No, that's Kickboxer, isn't it?
Is it?
I think they might be Kickboxer.
Just Batista bomb some cunt. That'd be awesome.
I don't kick nobody. I just fucking spine busted your ass.
The thumbs up, thumbs down gimmick and everything.
Yeah, shake the rope. You realize there's no ropes on this fucking
it
ring.
It could actually be Kickboxer now I'm thinking about it.
I think it was, because Jean-Saint Pierre is in there as well.
Oh, awesome.
Yes.
He helps train the main character.
They're all pretty much the same anyway. Jean-Claude Van Damme, look. Ass kicking, shit killing, killer croissant or whatever. I don't know.
Because you got Fabricio Verdum, Cain Velasquez, and a whole bunch of other UFC fucking people in it,
right,
as well. So
okay.
It's gonna be a mixed martial arts
called kickboxer.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
That sounds entertaining.
Of course,
it does. So what happened to your mate? He got body slammed. How hard was he body slammed? And onto what? A ladder or something?
Into the boot of the car.
He wasn't body slammed harder than anybody else was body slammed. He was just. Oh, maybe he was.
JT off or something.
Anyway, he took a hard body slam and he rolled out of the ring and went to take a breather in his car. And then I saw a few headlights and he was gone. He never came back. But I stuck with it, thank God, and now I'm here. But Duxy still comes to shows, so he's good. He's all right.
You just
everybody loves
he
him.
He has
just
a big old.
I don't know. I don't know him.
He's a big old set of nuts for coming to the shows after. Kind of, you know, slam,
yeah,
roll,
look,
drive off type of thing. But, you know,
wrestling's not for
kudos
everybody.
To him. Kudos
wrestling's
to you,
not
Mitch.
For everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look back, I don't know if you guys saw, I posted a photo on Instagram, maybe at Yulzygram is my Instagram.
Yulzygram. So was it you and about five or six other blokes?
And yeah, it was me and about left? Six other blokes. It was the first week of my training.
Yeah.
And, yeah, not one of them's still there.
Yeah, well, how hard is the training? We get bits and bobs of information coming through that the cardio is killer. So you got Carney training you, and Dave comes in sometimes, and Marcus Pitt comes in.
Yeah.
How hard is that cardio? Because a lot of people going, holy fuck, thank you for your.
It's definitely hard, but I feel
hop squats or whatever you call those things.
Yeah, there is hop squats. We did hop squats on Monday. I'm not in any place to really bitch and moan because, from what I understand.
But I mean, how hard? I mean, what kind of stuff do they get you to do? Because there's got to be a lot of conditioning and stuff.
Yeah, there is. But the guys, like the Chris Weiss era. Of training, from what I understand, was just hellacious, to use a good word, a great word, hellacious.
That's just something with agog and, I guess,
agog.
Fellatio or something.
It was fellacious.
It was fellatioed.
You had to do fellatio.
They did 500 squats and they got fellatioed.
Yeah.
I think we popped bees here, Bodie.
You felt me, is it? Yeah, back then it was absolute brutality. But
oh jeez!
But now it's still fairly hard. It depends who's taking the training. Obviously, when Shane Hayes was around for a little while, in between when he came back and before he left again, the training
for China,
for China. Yeah, he started his own promotion.
China,
in China
tryouts, yes.
Mm. You notice that Shane Thorne guy looks a lot like him.
He does. Yeah. He's a big ham too. So yeah. Maybe they're related.
Got the same tattoos and everything.
I know, it's weird.
Fucking gimmick infringement.
But yeah, Shane Hayes, when he was here, he kicked training up a notch, and there was a lot of running around the block and everything and crunches. And
was that partly Japanese influence as well, you reckon, from the dojos over there?
I'm sure it was. That was how he did things. I'm sure it was influenced from his time in Noah. Before China, so
make him run around the block, and that way you don't have to do anything. You can have a smoker for 10 minutes.
Yeah,
he's there.
To his credit, he was running with us. So good for him. I don't think he needed it. He's in phenomenal shape.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, he's a good-looking dude.
I didn't say that.
No,
you did.
It was written all over your face, buddy. Come on now.
I'm blushing.
That must have been the play show.
Him and Beach are blushing together. Oh, goodness.
So, yeah, no, the cardio is, it's definitely an aspect. You have to have some level of fitness. But like I was saying to you before, there's a place in wrestling for everybody. You don't have to be our friend Batista to come down to training on a Monday and have a crack.
I don't think Batista had good cardio anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, our place is on the other side of the railing.
Yes. Yeah. We hold the railing up really good.
Oh, I mean, that's one thing. I've been thinking for a while that I would like to even not necessarily train, but just do the open training day just to prove to myself, okay, I can do this and not die. which I can't guarantee would actually happen with my current fitness level, but it's something I wouldn't mind doing at some point.
Well, just tell me when you're going to do it, and I'll bring the fucking wheelchair as well, right? Just in case.
Yeah. If you have, I think it's a lot of mental toughness, I suppose. You know, you can get through anything. It's not, they never, ever, ever intentionally hurt people just for the sake of hurting people. It's conditioning, and it's, I don't know why I said that like I was Indian or something. Conditioning.
That was sounding Mexican.
Yeah, it's weird. I sound like Senor Benjamin or something.
Or Nacho Libre. Oh, Ignacio, why are you wearing your pants? Because they're stinky.
I love Nacho Libre. But yeah, the conditioning is, it's, you need that level of conditioning to kind of perform at a good level and perform at the level that EPW expects its performers to perform at.
They're just trying to push you to see where your limit is and to see if you can actually get past that first barrier, I guess. Because when, I know from a lot of basketball training, they used to do state league and all sort of bullshit. They'd run you till you puked, basically, but not, they wouldn't intentionally, like you say, not intentionally go out to try and hurt you or you know, make you into a little bitch and cry in a corner somewhere. But they'd push you to that first wall and see if you can break through. Because once you break through that first wall, the rest of it is pretty fucking easy.
Yeah,
as far as you know, the physical side of things go.
It's just it's just there to show people that it's not a joke. It's, you can't just come down and do shooting star presses all night and stuff like that.
Logan Gray does.
Yeah.
He had no training whatsoever.
No, he just goes to bounce on Thursdays, and that's his training.
I know my wife sees him there on the Thursdays doing all his flippy doos and fucking all sorts of slam dunky stuff.
Even the people like that, especially Logan Gray's. I know you're obviously taking the fist, but
yeah, I'm taking the fist. Yeah, he's phenomenal.
Just to illustrate my point is that before he ever jumped off the top rope, he was doing everything that everybody else was doing. There's no handouts or anything like that. You got to earn your right to. EPW, we like to pride themselves as elite level wrestling, especially in this state, in this country. And to be elite, you have to put in the work. You can't just show up and be our friend Batista.
Our friend, you can't half-ass it for sure.
Batista didn't half-ass it. I love Batista, in case you can't tell. I want to get the big back tattoo and everything.
Let's talk about your other friend here at training, Taylor King.
I was
going to
get
the
belly button tattoo.
Taylor King doesn't have a belly.
Taylor King, when did Taylor King start the training after you, or was he before you?
No, because you guys are outselling. You are very close, aren't you?
We're legitimate childhood. We've known each other since childhood.
Have you really?
Yeah. But have you liked him since childhood?
I started liking him about an hour ago when he sent me a meme on Facebook. But before then, no, I wasn't his biggest fan. Nah, we've known each other. So I think it's through football again. I think you start playing football when OzKicks when you're five or whatever.
Yeah,
and
the
first year of OzKick, he was in my team. So
yeah, because you see those kids at like halftime at the AFL games kicking straighter than the Dockers usually fucking.
Yeah, kicking straighter than Pav at least.
Is that one goal 400 or something?
What do you get?
Come on, mate. But yeah, since then, and then we hung out in kind of the same circles growing up and stuff like that. Went to the same parties. And then we didn't fall out or anything, but he went to a different school than I did. And well, someone's car's getting stolen.
It's not mine. It's
no.
Okay.
No, some outsider.
The outsiders. Taylor King, so we didn't fall out. We just kind of drifted apart. And then I saw him at one of the WWE shows, and I was handing out flyers and stuff. I think I just started training.
Was that 2014?
Must have been. No,
I might have passed you in the street back
then. Must have been. I think I was in a Hardy Boys t-shirt.
Oh, that was you. I said, oh, this douche nugget. Fuck,
exists to inspire. That sick shit.
Team Extreme.
Yeah.
You were there with Mass, weren't you?
I think so. He was there, yeah. So Taylor messaged me.
I think I remember we saw you guys, I think.
What do you mean we?
We were at that show.
WWE I'm not thinking show. The one before that.
Oh.
Yeah, the one before that, because I got a ticket to State of Origin 2014.
Yeah, because we went to that show with your nephew.
Yeah, but that was in August. State of Origin was in July.
Or wouldn't have been. What?
No, it was the one previous. It was the one before.
2013 then, was it?
Yeah. It was like a SmackDown show or some bullshit.
There's massive contention here between.
It's okay. It doesn't matter, because now we are talking explosive pro wrestling.
Yes. I remember we had the conversation, oh, Roman Reigns has improved a lot.
How wrong were we?
No, we were right. He just hasn't improved really since then.
No, he'd improved up to that point, yes.
Yeah.
He didn't trip down any stairs.
Yeah, true.
It's always a win.
Anyway.
So Taylor messaged me, and I always known that he's been a lifelong wrestling fan as well. And he just asked the basics about training and stuff like that. And I just helped him out just because he was a friend. And I drove him to his first training, and then it kind of evolved from there into
driving him to every single training session.
Essentially. It's just because training's a fair way from Freo.
Yeah.
And so
it's now
more fun to...
It's further now, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's more fun to drive with somebody else. And then you end up just talking wrestling and stuff like that, and then bouncing ideas off each other. And yeah, so in the last couple of years, we've spent a lot more time...
Mm.
Oh, that sounds horrible, doesn't it?
No, okay, keep going.
Spent a lot more time. Alone time.
Alone in locker room.
It's pretty much the closest you can get to, you know, driving the ring circuit now and just talking wrestling on the road. It's like going to training and
yeah,
back.
That's it. I get jealous of these guys that have the stories of the road, because, you know, Perth's only so big, really, but...
Mm.
There's only so many stories you can get between here and Coburn and here and fucking...
Yeah,
Malaga,
that's it. It's not like you can drive from, I don't know, California to Texas or something like... Guys, I don't know if that's a thing. I don't even know if they're on the
Route
same 66,
side. Route 66, yes it is.
Okay, there you
actually,
go.
Actually, no, you kind of
it's
take
a bit of a trek, though.
No, Route 66 goes from Vegas to California, doesn't it? Vegas to...
It goes from Vegas... No, Route Vegas 66 to, starts in Chicago.
I must go be Chicago to California.
It goes all the way to... I think it does go to California via Vegas.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Because no, I know a couple of people have tried doing the drive and they've never made it to California because they basically...
died.
They blew their budget when they got to Vegas and couldn't afford to go
oh,
the rest
yeah.
of the trip.
I can
so
see that
just
too.
Well, the cars are only cheap. They're only $79 a day to hire a Mustang.
Yeah, I know. But they blew the rest of their holiday budget in Vegas.
All right.
On hookers.
Take that as a story.
And blow. Yeah.
Take that as a life lesson, Bodie McKenzie.
Yes,
don't
no.
blow your money on
hookers.
Hookers and blow.
That's it.
I don't believe...
Pick one or the other.
I don't believe one of those people was a certain Irish referee that we know. I don't think he was on that trip.
Seamus? Is he a referee? No, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Spuddy O'Hallahan.
Yeah, that one.
So, yeah, it's just... yeah, that's me and Taylor in a nutshell, I suppose. It's not many wrestlers from Freo. I think we're the only two.
The only really. Two from Freo.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry. What didn't you tag with him?
I was giggling about something else.
What didn't you guys tag up instead of tagging up with Byron?
I think I had my first match about 6 months before he had his first match, so it's just
all right.
timing, yeah.
So how long after you finished training did they let you get in the ring and have a problem?
I trained for 1 year and 2 days before I had my first match.
You counted it
but
down.
Who's
1 year
counting?
And 2 days.
Well, my first match was on the 28th of February and I started training on the 26th, so it was easy to keep track of.
Who was your first match then?
My first match was against Davis Storm. So.
And I'm guessing,
oh, wow.
I'm guessing you didn't go over in that one.
I squashed him. What are you talking about? No, I got
that's why he left.
I got demoralized. I'm surprised I haven't gotten the ring again.
Was this actually at an event?
It was at an EPW house show.
Okay, yep.
Yeah. That was huge. I was so nervous. I remember he whipped me into the buckle and said up and over. And I forgot what an up and over was. And I thought it was a drop down. And then I said, why am I going into the buckle and doing a drop down? That makes absolutely no sense. And in this time that I'm thinking that, I just ran into the buckle front weight, like Bret Hart style.
Yeah, his sternum first.
And then he fucking drop kicked my teeth down my throat after that. And I said, don't do that again.
So for all the uninitiated, what actually is an up and over?
It's like...
Let's pretend we don't know.
You've seen Rey Mysterio do it a million times. You kind of go in and then you... use the ropes to kick you hold onto the ropes and kick your legs up and the guy goes underneath you and he either eats the buckle and you get to go behind him and
yeah.
you get a second to decide what you're going to
roll him up or you just scratch his back like Hulk Hogan used to do.
That's it.
Yeah.
Wedgie him, whatever comes to mind.
Whatever comes to mind, that's it.
Hit probably a good thing a wedgie didn't come to mind because, you know, you don't really want a wedgie David Storm in a match.
No, that wouldn't have ended well. So yeah, that's a little Easter egg from my first match.
An Easter egg. So what kind of... experience have you had with the boys in the locker room? We don't ask this question too many times to people.
Or ever.
Ever, actually. This is the first people, because we're winging. Hang on, I'll spit that out.
We're winging it.
That's what we're doing.
And we're good mates with him as well.
Yes, and we have no notes, so we can actually ask things that come straight to our heads without having to read a piece of sticking paper. The locker room, like the established fellas, how do they take to the young guys and stuff? Are they helpful or some of them kind of counts or what?
No, I wouldn't say that. Except Batista, he's a cunt.
Yeah, Batista's
my friend.
He's a diva.
Batista's my good friend. I've never met Batista. I want to meet Batista. But the older guys in the The older guys in the locker room, it's a lot like a footy team, really. Like, you've all got common goals, and you're all working together to make sure that the show's as good as a show that we can put on. But, you know, not every player on a footy team gets along, and not every wrestler gets along. But having said that, I don't feel like I've got any enemies in the locker room. Without putting myself over too much, I'm pretty easygoing. I don't really get angry about anything, and, you know, I treat everybody with respect. And if people don't like something about me, then I'll just treat them with respect. And if they want to hold a grudge against me, then that's fine. I'm not going to try and have a fight in the locker room or anything like that, because I'd probably lose.
You're an upstanding citizen.
So, yeah, and in regards to the older guys, like, some guys take you under their wing more than others, obviously, but I try and pull stuff off guys.
That's staying in.
Oh, Jesus. I try and pull stuff off guys that is going to help me in the long run. That doesn't even make sense.
No.
Either. You're trying to learn stuff?
Learn.
You should have done at school.
You
take things from people.
I take things from people, yes.
You're a thief.
Clothes.
You lie, yeah.
Back tattoos.
Yeah, so, you know, guys like Chris Weiss and Marcus Pitt and stuff like that, and David Storm especially, I got a massive amount of respect for. So whatever they tell me, they're right. they know a lot better than I do. So
your name isn't Bodie McKenzie anymore. Correct.
Well, when it comes to Dave Storm, you definitely should respect your elders.
Absolutely.
Oh, he's younger than I am, dude.
And only just.
Only a few years.
Yeah, so to answer that question, they're very helpful. I try to ask Dave and Chris and Marcus Pitt and stuff like that about my match after I had it. And, you know, if they saw it, they'd give me honest criticism, which is good.
Yeah. What'd they say about the Lumberjack match from Hell or High Water?
It absolutely sucked. Nah. I didn't... Not the... Because it was such a busy show.
It was your last match. You didn't care, really, did you?
Yeah, I said, get fucked.
You knew you weren't going over, so you're just going to sandbag Tyler. Fuck you, dude.
What is this go-over you speak of?
That actually was a pretty decent match, man. You got to give it to you.
It was an entertaining match, definitely.
We tried really hard to make that match something different and stuff like that. And Lumberjack matches are a lot of fun, and you got a lot of tools to play with, but they're also, it's a lot of guys to try and manage, and it's a lot to think about. And, you know, I've only been wrestling two and a bit years, so I don't have quite as much experience to just direct guys and be stern enough to say, you need to do this. And to be honest, I don't really know every trick in the book and what's going to make the match a stellar match. So all I can say is that I tried my best, and I took Taylor's ideas and my ideas and the ideas of the guys around me. And yeah, that's what that match ended up being. I was pretty happy with it.
Well, so
it
worked. Did you plan most of it out, or did you call all of it in the ring?
Well, everyone breaks kayfabe on this thing, don't they?
Oh, yeah, this is a shoot show.
Yeah, yeah. So the most of it was... We hadn't walked through it, but we'd spoken about a lot of it. Like we said, we train at the same gym and stuff like that. So yeah, we're always around each other, bouncing ideas off each other and stuff like that. A lot of the heat was just... we just tried to feel how the crowd would...
Mm.
If the crowd got bored, then we could cut it short. And, you know, if they were right into it, then you obviously have time to stick to and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But we tried to milk the things we could milk. And if stuff didn't get a reaction, then we'd move on.
No, I dug that spot where it was like a Death Valley driver onto the outside with Taylor, who ended up crowd surfing, so you just jumped on him anyway.
Yeah, we'd just go with the flow.
The
stuff
old,
like
the old
that.
Footy stacks on top,
yeah,
of,
yeah,
top
I was
of the situation.
Hoping I didn't just bounce off him and eat shit.
one of the high spots of the match, along with Yeezy's moonsault, and for some reason, Eddie Bombay giving Outlaw Billy Williams a hug just got a huge pop from the crowd.
Yeah, the Cowboys and Indians, one of the great tag teams of the
all
last...
time.
Yeah. Of all time.
That you ruined.
Who the fuck are the Rockers? Cowboys and Indians.
Cowboys and Indians is where it's at, man.
Yeah, well, talking about great tag teams, you mentioned the Hardy Boys multiple times now.
And Batista.
And Batista.
You're
going
to be the king of trios, man.
Yeah,
you used the side effect as one of your finishes. I guess it's fair to say you are a big Hardy Boys fan, then.
Absolutely. I just stole it. I'm not going to say that I tried to model a move after Matt Hardy. I just fucking stole it.
Are you going to come back as broken Bodie McKenzie?
I was
then?
Just about to ask that, you son of a bitch.
Broken Bodie.
What do you think about the broken Matt Hardy?
I love it.
I think it's fantastic as well.
I don't know. with TNA, you know, they don't have, not that much happens there that people talk about in pop culture and on the internet and stuff like that. But fuck, I have not heard the end of Broken Matt Hardy since he deleted Jeff.
Broken Matt Hardy has revitalized TNA's ratings.
Let's hope whoever's booking TNA doesn't take it overboard and do like Broken Back Matt Hardy.
You know, I don't know who is booking then. It's not Billy Corgan.
Well, he's helping.
He's running things. I wouldn't surprise me if he was helping. He's helping. A very creative guy.
I think Batista's booking.
But I'll tell you,
belly button tattoo on a bowl match.
How funny would it be if you rock up to Lance Storm's fucking place for training on the first day, Batista standing in the middle of the ring?
He'll fucking Batista.
Batista bombs you straight out of Lance Storm's training.
He will fanboy out, I think.
Yeah, go home, you piece of shit. He was
So yeah, it's obviously you were a big fan of the Hardy Boys growing up.
I love the Hardy Boys. I always liked Matt more. I'm probably the only one in.
That's what I was going to ask. Were you a Matt or a Jeff fan?
I was a Matt fan. Me and Hayden Zenith. Hayden Zenith loves Matt Hardy, and I love Hayden Zenith for it.
Now, that's it. So seeing Hayden Zenith's moveset, I'm actually surprised that he's a Matt fan, not a Jeff fan.
I know, you'd be surprised, but he loves Shannon Moore, which I'll leave that to him. But
fair enough. Shannon Moore's
a guy that wrestled.
He's a guy. He's a bloke.
Yeah, I absolutely love Matt Hardy. I'd use a Twist of Fate if I could. I can. Well, I'm going to use a Twist of Fate. Next show.
Nothing's stopping you.
Next show.
Shit.
When I used to play SmackDown versus Raw with the Flyboy Tyrone back when I was younger.
That's
name dropping again.
He is a huge Matt Hardy fan.
Good.
And pretty much I was forced to be Matt. Me and Logan Gray basically we're taking turns because he always would play one. We had to swap between player two. We had to swap between me and Jeff. Matt, sorry. It was unfair.
So if Flyboy was a Matt fan, why would you be
No,
Matt?
No, he was a Jeff fan.
He's a Jeff fan.
Logan Gray was he's a Jeff fan as well, isn't he?
Yeah, but we were forced to be Matt, though, because there was only one other controller.
Makes sense. I think, you know, a lot of bad things have happened in my life, but I think the most emotional I've ever been is when Logan Gray gave me a Hardy Boys t-shirt in the car park of McDonald's. I cried for about 6 days afterwards. Just pure emotion.
Because it didn't fit.
Oh, it fit.
He cut the sides to make sure it would fit.
Yeah, I was like a bib. Fucking stole my mum's stockings and I was dancing in the bathroom. Have a bit of this. Mum turned the light on. What's going on here?
You did have pants on, right?
No, absolutely not.
God damn it.
I'm trying to work out if he's just recounting the Silence of the Lambs or not.
It puts the lotion on his skin or it gets the Twist of Fate again.
Oh, jeez.
Yep.
The Twist of Fate's a sexual position for Bodie McKenzie.
Trying to picture it.
Bit of whisper in the wind.
Geez. I'll try anything once.
Fucking hell. It's going downhill very quickly.
Shall we get back to wrestling, Beach?
We were on wrestling, yeah.
We should. Let's get back to podcasting. We can wrestle later.
Broken Matt Hardy.
Broken Back Mountain Matt Hardy.
What? Y'all don't say that.
All right. Jesus.
You had a very first hair versus hair match against kayfabe brother Byron.
Broken Byron.
Broken Byron. Bold Byron. Back at Gold Rush, I want to say.
It was Gold Rush.
Oh, please, someone just say that.
I don't know why I held off.
Everybody, you know what? Even if we get it wrong, we know that Giles O'Brien's going to correct us anyway. So,
Senior referee Giles O'Brien.
Senior Benjamin.
Senior referee.
Enough with the Hardy Boys. So.
I love
it's making me Benjamin. Emotional.
His name starts with a capital G, and he is a bona fide spud.
Thank Cal for that one. So first of all, hair versus hair. That was a cracker. How afraid were you that you were going to lose your hair before that? Before they told you the finish?
I was hysterical. My hair is... It took me so long to grow my hair. I don't know why.
I caught a glimpse of your license picture there before. You had short hair in that, didn't you?
Yeah.
I did.
Is that one of those five-year ones where you do it every 5 years?
Yeah, I never take a new photo. I can't be bothered. But I'll get it out. It being
you should
my
get
license.
Banger. You should get banger to do your driver's license.
Yeah, I had a little short hair.
Oh, wow.
A little short hair.
You look like Charlie from The Schoolmen.
Like what?
Is that another
Charlie from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
No, Charlie from the EPW training school.
Oh.
Yeah. Nobody knows who I'm talking about, but trust me, kids, he looks like Charlie.
Now I know who you're talking about. Like Charlie?
So how long before the match did they tell you what the finish was?
That's a good question.
They gave him the clippers, there you go.
I think we had
what's in the box?
We kind of had a lot of... we did a lot of that storyline out of our own ideas and stuff. So I'm sure it was a mixture of our ideas and their ideas. And
so it's like, Harry, guess what?
So Harry lost a hostile game of Rochambeau.
Old Harry Avalon. Yeah.
Not Frankie Avalon, don't confuse him.
No, not Frankie Avalon.
No, yeah, fuck. If I would have just bailed if he won.
Done the runner.
Yeah. Would have just got one of those bottles of beer from the drinking section and smashed on his head. Pushed his mum over and ran out the door. Our mum, my brother. That wouldn't make sense.
Yeah.
Mum, get out of my fucking way, man. You're getting a haircut, dear. Fuck you, dude.
Slipping in and out of fame here.
So we can do that.
I'm not even sure what's real anymore.
Pony McKenzie's provided us with Corona, so we're good.
Yeah.
Bit of a Roni pony.
Yeah. Have you noticed that since we've got these microphones, all we want to do is really like try and sing or bust a rhyme or something like that?
You were busting rhymes the other week.
Speaking of singing, there's a thing.
That's a segue.
Yeah, it's
a
segue
last
by the
note
dude.
I've got here that I was going to remind you of.
Yeah, what's the story with you being Bodhi Braithwaite, man? What's up with the horses?
Fuck, I don't even know where it started, but...
I think Liam came up with it.
Oh, actually, I do know where it started.
Go on then, tell us what happened.
EPW does the end of year awards thing for the wrestlers, and the peers vote your... who was the best wrestler and stuff like that. Anyway, that's not important. Yeah. But at the end of year awards, I have a tendency to just... I don't know what it is about that particular evening on the calendar, but it's just... I just always get blackout, like, just stupid drunk. And
doesn't everybody?
Yeah, but I'm just... I don't know. I don't know why I do it. I probably make a dick
out
of myself every time.
You do know why you do it.
I love it. And one particular year I was just munted, if I could use that word.
Yeah, munted is the word, yes.
And I think that's where it started. I think I was singing Horses.
Can you give us a few bars for the people who don't know what the song is? Because we have a lot of foreign listeners, like in the Middle East and the European sector.
So you want me to sing it in Arabic?
Sing it in any language you know, my friend.
Oh, come on. Come for me on the spot like that.
Johnny on the spot. Here we go.
If I didn't have a sore throat, I would lead you in, but
I'll lead you in. How's that?
All right, how's this? I promise that I will close this interview out with the chorus of Horses.
We will all do it. How's that?
But for some reason...
That's good because I can actually record my bit later when I've got a better voice and just dub it over there.
You can do the end bit where it goes, little darling.
For some reason, the illustrious former EPW champion of the world, the shotgun Tyler Jacobs...
Champion of the world.
...became obsessed with my rendition of... Horses.
So it's Carnage's fault.
Yes. FN Carnage, Tyler Jacobs... just became obsessed with it, and he would literally be mad at me, like physically angry at me, not fucking around, that I wouldn't sing it for him. Anyway, one night in the locker room, Liam Mendel was on the Periscope gimmick. Remember that?
For 3 months of that was
that's gone the way of Pokemon Go, hasn't it?
And I was absolutely smashing out this verse of Daryl Braithwaite. And I was unbeknownst to me being periscoped.
And that sounds so rude. It sounds like he goosed you or something.
Yeah, so that was the. It's just my favourite song. I just love it.
I think he's actually coming to town when you're away. You're going to miss him.
Are you kidding?
No.
Are you actually kidding?
No, I'm dead serious.
He's probably playing a pub somewhere.
Daryl Braithwaite's been advertised. I know he's pretty soon. Pretty sure he's coming.
You have to put off your training for a month or so.
Yeah, that really sucks, but I guess that's just the way it's going to be, little darling.
I remember I saw him, it would have been about 15 years ago, I went and saw him down at Mindari at the pub down there, and there was this one woman there getting up, dancing. She was blind, rotten, drunk as well. Making a complete ass of herself. And then like the following Monday, I had to go to the bank, and I walked in, and she's there behind the counter. And she's like, do I know you? I was like, no, but I know you. I saw you at Daryl Braithwaite on the weekend. She's like, oh, fuck, was I dancing? I'm like, yes, you were.
Yeah, Horses has a tendency to do that to people. I tend to get my boobies out when I listen to Horses.
I have no shame in saying I'm a big Daryl Brathwaite fan. I love his stuff.
He's the best.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't know one of his fucking songs besides that.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, I think Fonzie could take him in a fight. Eh?
You should make yourself a Daryl Brathwaite playlist for the
mixtape
for the
flight. Yeah, that's not bad.
You're gonna have this episode on loop for 27 hours, aren't you?
Absolutely. I love the sound of my own voice.
You're gonna end up cutting your own arm off like that dude in 127 hours. If you play that movie in reverse, it's actually a heartwarming story of how a bloke fucking got his arm out of a rock
and it just grew back.
Yeah, fuck. How's that work?
So what actually is the time difference between here and Canada?
Because
we were trying to work it out yesterday, mm-hmm. and I think I came to the calculation that you're going to arrive in Canada last Friday.
My head exploded after reading
There's some weird... I think I leave... We go through Hong Kong. I think it's weird. It's weird. I think I leave Hong Kong at like 9 in the morning Hong Kong time, fly like 17 hours to LA and get to LA at like 9:10 or something.
That same day.
Yeah, same day.
That's fucked up.
And then I have like 9 hours in LAX, and then so I get to Calgary like Thursday night, and I leave Perth at like midnight Thursday morning, and then I'm in the air for 27 hours, and then miraculously that same day I'm in fucking Calgary.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I'm going to be... Yeah.
It'll mess with your body, so watch out for that jet lag, man. So I reckon it's an hour's... every hour your time zone's different is how many days you'll be jet lagged. So if you're jet lagged after like being 27 hours of fucking air flying, you'd be dead.
Air flying?
As opposed to... Ground flying.
That water flying.
Water flying they call swimming. No, but you might be your first third of training, you'd be jet lagged, so take it easy, eh?
Popped him. He's done.
You got
me. Because I know because the difference between here
fish do that.
And the
pop me to that.
The East Coast of the US, I know that's 12 hours because that's good for working out pay-per-view times. Yeah, because I think
it's 13 hours.
It's something.
Good little clock gimmick.
Mm. What, you mean a clock?
A clock gimmick.
Yeah.
We are terrible wordsmiths.
I'm almost certain it's 14 hours behind, according to my hickory dickory clock.
There you go.
Yep, so in Calgary right now, it's 6:42
a.m.
in the morning.
This morning.
So shout out to any Canadian listeners. Good morning. How are you? Eh?
Yes.
Eh?
Oh, can't be racist. I'm going to be living there for... 3 months.
It's not racist.
It's not racist.
Everything's racist. 2016.
It's not. Canadians are just Australians with funny accents.
They're very polite people.
They are.
14 hours. I thought it was 13. God damn it.
Should we do a tribute to our Canadian brothers?
And sisters.
What's that?
And just do a rendition of Terrence and Philip, Not Without My Anus.
What?
You know who Terrence and Philip are,
no.
Right? You ever watched South Park?
Oh, yeah. I'm okay. Not, yeah,
you,
no,
you need
no,
to
no.
know these three phrases for Canada.
I'm not I'm, your
oh,
buddy,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not your guy okay, friend, yeah. and I'm not your yeah. friend
if
buddy.
If someone does this, you have to laugh uncontrollably, all right?
I have seen that episode.
Oh, Beach is pop
yeah.
now.
Yeah,
because remember WrestleMania?
I'm not your buddy, guy. Yeah, I've heard all that.
Remember
yeah.
at WrestleMania at the game show? Not the game show, but at the game bar this year.
Yes.
Where everybody was there.
At the gay bar?
At the gay bar, yes. We were eating burgers and fries at the gay bar at 9 a.m. What the hell? That didn't sound good.
I've said a few stupid things like that today.
That's all right. We say it all the time.
Nothing wrong
with that. That's how this whole thing started. Not there's anything wrong with that.
Mm.
No, but remember we were watching WrestleMania. All the EPW guys were there and me and him and all these other dudes. And there was that segment with The Rock and Bray Wyatt came in.
And
they're cutting the promo against each other. And Bray Wyatt said, "You better watch what you say, friend."
Oh,
I said, "I'm not your friend, buddy."
Yes.
Now that got a pop.
Pop the bar. Yes.
No, I do remember. I do remember. And I do get the reference. So.
That was the greatest moment in the history of my life, I think.
Yeah, right.
It really was.
Aren't you married?
Yes, I am.
That's not up there?
No. That gets overtaken by "I'm not your buddy guy."
So it goes up. It goes, "I'm not your buddy guy." Bodie McKenzie winning against Byron McKenzie.
Yes.
And then the wedding.
No, that's actually fourth. Because third... is actually the same sort of, similar sort of thing. Myself and my friend James.
Jimmy.
Jimmy. We were at a restaurant with our significant others and everything, and they'd gone off to do womanly stuff, powder their nose or scratch their anus. I don't know what the fuck they do. And the white guy...
Powder their nose. It's not the 80s anymore.
Okay. Well, then...
We don't use that euphemism anymore.
Whatever. The white guy was there
The waiter guy?
The waiter guy.
The oh, waiter. Waiter.
The dude who delivers drinks and stuff.
Not just the guy that comes up and says, "You, sir, are fat."
No, and some, and I think Jimmy
no
said...
No food
Jimmy,
for you.
Jimmy who's said, that guy? Jimmy fed to me the line of something like, "Here, buddy." And I said, "I'm not your buddy, guy." And without missing a beat, the waiter goes, "I'm not your guy, friend." And 5 minutes of me, Jimmy, and the waiter just doing this shit. And everybody's going, "What the fuck
so
is going
two
on?"
Two of your top four South Park references.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair hey, enough.
My thing is, if I pop one guy, I've done the job. So if one guy laughs, I'm done.
You pop me with water flying. So.
Water flying. That's just me being a dickhead, really. I wasn't trying to do anything funny.
Oh, boy. Have you got anything you wanted to add here, dude?
I've got heaps of stuff. Well, not heaps, but anyway, a couple of things.
Okay, go for it.
First one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bowden McKenzie, obviously, is a cool name, but it's not. It wasn't your first choice of a gimmick. Who gave you that gimmick, man?
Bodie McKenzie was, it wasn't not my idea, but it was just one of a bunch of names that me and Harry Avalon at the time threw out. We came up with the idea. Gavin McGavin always said that we look like brothers, and we thought, you know, there wasn't anybody in EPW that was doing that, because we had Bruiser Barry and
Gorgeous Gary.
Previously, and then they kind of went away, and then there was no brothers, and so we thought if we actually, you know, did something like that, and then Bodie and Byron McKenzie was just kind of because we wanted to go with the beach thing and stuff like that, and
so you could have called yourself Frankie Avalon.
Yeah, that was my first choice.
It should have been Frankie and Harry Avalon.
My first choice is Frankie Avalon, and the second was Dave Bautista. But that was taken.
So, are you a Point Break fan then?
I am a Point Break fan. Oh, I do like... That's where Bodie comes from.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do kind of look like Patrick Swayze from afar. If I squint into the sun.
What?
But...
rotting in the ground?
Not now. Back then at Point Break, you necrophiliac motherfucker.
Yeah, no, I'm a massive Point Break fan.
Did you see the remake?
No, I didn't.
That's right. Nobody else did either.
Yeah.
Good idea.
But for a little Drawing Heat exclusive, I'm not sure 100% if I come back from Canada as... Bodie McKenzie or as...
That leads into my something else. I was going to say, if you got, say, I don't know, whether you got picked up by somebody in the States and or whatever and you continued your career there, or you came back here, what would be, if you had a choice, if they said, Jules, see, we're breaking Fabe, Jules, what do you want to do? How do you want to do it? Fucking, you can do what you want. What do you want to do? So how would you portray yourself?
Keep something with MB initial so you can still keep the same gear. like another certain WWE person that we know.
He's just too cheap to buy
just
boots.
Seems lazy.
I like those boots.
So do I. Yeah, they're great. It's like, at least swap the letters around on them or something.
I dig the fact he still wears those bloody striped socks on top.
Yeah.
They're cool.
So I'm giving a lot of thought to this at the moment, and it's a lot harder than people might think. Because I come from a footy background and stuff like that, and I was always kind of a sporty kid, and that's kind of a lot more my niche. And even like once I started wrestling, the training and stuff was obviously hard, and I didn't get everything straight away. I'm no Dave Bautista, but I picked up stuff, you know, at a good rate and stuff like that. But then once it came to the creative stuff, that's not my thing. I'm not good at that kind of thing, and it's always been an issue, and that's a lot of the criticism I get from the older guys is that, not the older guys, my peers, is they are older than me because
they're a little bit older.
I'm 20, so. But that's why I've said so much stupid stuff on this podcast. I'm only
20. Dude, I'm 40, and you've seen the shit I've said. Fucking hell.
Just going to throw it out there.
Fuck, I'm old enough to be your dad.
Deacon Bodie.
Deacon Bodie.
Deacon Bodie.
Just carry the little box and get the cut-off suit and everything.
Yep. Did you say Deacon Bodista?
Yeah.
I like that.
Got to get some big-ass arms first. But yes. Yeah,
and the belly button tattoo.
You love the belly button tattoo.
So, you love the belly button tattoo.
Absolutely. Yeah, so...
You guys need a room or something?
No, but I need a tattoo artist. Now.
Yeah, so
before I change my mind.
That's a lot of my peers and stuff tell me that I'm, in terms of my matches and stuff like that, I'm fairly generic, I suppose is the word to use. Like,
you're a white meat wrestler.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you know, fuck, I can throw a drop kick and, you know, do a clothesline, but so can everybody else. So that's actually one of the reasons I wanted to travel and experience other stuff, and because I just want to add stuff to my repertoire. And I know that I'm fairly generic, and I kick myself for it, because when I watch wrestling, I get bored by the guys that aren't different. And it's funny because, like, my taste in wrestlers is like, I love the big characters. I love The Undertaker, and I love, like, Vampiro, like, cool stuff like that.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I love Vampiro. But then myself, when I get in the ring, I'm fucking just a long-haired guy, long-haired, you know, blue-eyed, white meat baby face. So I need to fix that while I'm gone.
But it's the thing, though. You can't really fix it. You're either a creative guy who gets ideas fucking 24/7, not always good ones, but fucking... Like, I mean, okay, like myself, maybe like yeah. Beach must here. I mean, I could be driving down the road, and I'm not a wrestler. I've never been inside a wrestling ring in my life, but I'd listen to a song or something, and I'd start thinking wrestling, thinking Stephen stuff up for say, you guys or something. Fucking what would be cool, fucking what you guys do or looked at and look like and all that sort of shit. But what I'm trying to say is the creative process, you can't force it. I mean, you might be not the most creative guy. You're the athletic guy, like you said, so yourself, you don't fucking... think about it too much, but I reckon if inspiration hits you, you'll be around it enough, like at Lance's and all that sort of stuff, you'll get that inspiration, and that fucking light bulb will go off at some crazy time. You might be taking a shit, you might wake up first thing in the morning, sit up, fucking go brush your teeth, and go, and you'll get that inspiration, and that whole thing will be in your head without having to pour over it for fucking hours and hours doing it. So I wouldn't worry too much about it, man.
Yeah, it's not necessarily that I'm worried about it, it's just I know that that's a big flaw in my game. And you know, like you were saying before, if the WWE, you know, said, if I somehow got a tryout and they said to me, you know, stand in front of this green screen and cut a promo and you've got 30 seconds to get your character over, I would be fucked. I'd be fucked. I would just start talking like Dave Bautista.
But what, I mean, you've been a lifelong wrestling fan, but what would your dream character be? And how would you do it? Because you're a hell of a heel. You're a heel in NHPW.
Yeah, I do.
And you're a son of a bitch. That's awesome. You tease, you know, special needs people and...
Oh, come on.
We've seen you do it, man.
You got the Val Venus gimmick going with the towel there. Yeah.
No, but what we're trying to say is that you've got the charisma to be a fucking super heel and stuff. So, I mean, what would you rather be, a babyface or a heel? Let's start from there.
Yeah, so in terms of... being a babyface or a heel, I don't necessarily have a preference, but being a heel, I don't know if I'm just a dick, but it comes a lot more naturally. In a sense, it's not natural, it's just a little bit easier to get people to hate you than it is to get people to like you.
Being
it
a heel is more fun.
It is. It's more fun.
You don't have to try as hard, really, to piss people off.
And it's just like, at this point in my career, I'm young and I've got the long hair and stuff like that, so it's kind of easy to just to be a dick, and it's easy to be hateable, and it's not always easy to be likable. So at NHPW, me and Liam just kind of go out there and do whatever we want. And
yeah, but Liam's a smart ass anyway, so
Liam's a, yeah, he's yeah.
It's not really a stretch for him.
He is a dick in real life.
he's a big dick.
He's good. But yeah, so
yeah, such a dick, Liam.
In terms of NHPW, it's I've had a lot of fun there, especially, you know, lately, and I've learned a lot about being a heel, and maybe one day we'll get to put it into practice. But, you know, obviously you have to have a spot on the show, and if that's not what is needed from me by APW at that time, then that's my priority, and whatever they need is, I have to be versatile enough to be able to give them what they want.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously you can't be your dream character straight off the bat, but did you have like a dream character to be when you were growing up? And, and don't say Batista.
Or The Undertaker.
Or Matt Hardy.
Yeah, okay. Well, they're my top three.
God damn it.
Nah, I would have loved to be Shawn Michaels. I love Shawn Michaels.
For fuck's sake. everyone wanted to be Shawn Michaels.
What would your ring name be? And don't say Max Power.
Michael Shawn. This is stuff that I'm putting a lot of thought into at the moment, but there's
clearly, yeah.
I'm not even, yeah, Michael Shawn, that's the best I can come up with.
Michael Hickenbottoms.
Yeah. I'm not anywhere close to, I'm taking my time with it. I'm not going to rush it.
He's got 3 months to work that shit out.
But I mean, like I said, it's not going to come to you fucking just like that.
Yeah, that's
with
it.
Thinking about it and pouring over it and over and over it. It'll hit you like a bolt of lightning, basically, and it'll be like the perfect gimmick. Just pop straight into your head, and you'll have it all figured out straight away.
I hope so.
Yeah. You will, I said.
And then Booker will say no.
Yeah. So you have to put Dude Love in the closet for a few years before you're good enough to do it.
Yeah, Mankind.
Oh, poor Mankind.
I could be that, I reckon. Stop pulling my hair out and shit.
No, you don't want to mess with that beautiful.
No, I
head
don't.
Of hair, man.
That beautiful mane you got there.
Do you have any stories that you can tell us? Any dirty little stories about, you know, Taylor King or Liam Mendel? Any wrestling related, or even just getting fucked up drunk and tripping over his own dick stories or something?
Just forgetting that Daddy McKenzie's in the room right now. Just forget that he's even sitting there.
Yeah, my old man.
So, Mr. McKenzie, how do you feel about Byron being a dick?
Yeah, he's lost for words in that one.
Poor man's just shaking his head, and I believe Byron McKenzie's been written right out of the will.
No, he's
fuck
out
you,
of
Byron.
Fuck, what was the question? Oh, the blackout drunk thing. Yeah.
any juicy stories, man? That's what we're trying to get. Because nobody tells us shit on this.
Anything that happened before you got blackout drunk that you can remember.
Yeah, you should have asked me this before. I'm sure I've got a couple, but...
Yeah, Dad's going to go back to his footy days. So.
No, he couldn't play, mate. Yeah, no.
Was Taylor drinks boy, was he? Was he orange juice kid? Taylor gives a slice.
He can put a few vodka lemonades down now. Yeah. No,
he's
sorry, guys.
Kid,
I can't think of anything off the top of my head, really. Oh, any crazy stories?
Right, let's not end this podcast off on a boring little fizzle.
No.
Bodie McKenzie, your time is now. Start the music, Beach.
I'm going to have to take it away. Do I have backing vocals?
Yes, or? We will help you.
You can help. I'll have to put mine in and post-edit.
Okay.
Post-edit, which means he's not doing it. So it's just me and you, kid.
I've been promising you this for a long time.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Bodie McKenzie, with help from the dude, singing Horses by Daryl Braithwaite.
It's not from the start. It's just the chorus.
I don't know
right?
from the start. No, right? neither I just do know I. the chorus.
Okay. I won't mention
you
that
cut
I
in and then
the
we'll harmonise. You cut in and we'll harmonise.
I can't sing.
Go ahead. Go on. Me.
That's the way it's gonna be, little darling. We'll go riding on the horses, yeah. Way up in the sky, little darling. And if you fall, I'll pick you up. I'll pick you up. That's all you're getting, guys.
Oh, that was beautiful. That was beautiful.
I promised that for like 2 years.
Thank God we saved that to the end, because our listeners just went, fuck this.
Yeah, they're all gone. Hopefully the shotgun Tyler Jacobs is still listening. He got his
Oh, don't worry. I'm going to cut that up. I'll send that specifically to him tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I heard it's going to be his ringtone.
It's going to be his ringtone.
Oh, God. That'll be even better.
Well, Bodie McKenzie, Mr. Bodie, thank you very much for sitting with us tonight, man. We appreciate it, and appreciate Papa McKenzie letting us use his humble abode here in East Fremantle, even though I'm a South Fremantle supporter. I'm sorry.
Oh, do you see his nose just turn up at you then?
I know. I tried to drive past a few times.
You're going
to
be banned from using the multi-million-dollar coffee machine now.
Oh, God damn it. So I want to say thank you very much for joining us. Good luck in Calgary, man. Give our best to Lance Storm, even though he knows no idea who we are.
No, I'm sure he's a listener. Just we'll give him some business cards to take
with
him.
Maybe share it with him, like send a link to his phone or some shit.
Yeah,
I'm sure he's got room.
But no,
for
seriously, good luck, man. Good luck to you. Good luck to your friends who are going with you. It's going to make you a better wrestler. We want to see you back. Hopefully you get picked up by one of the bigger companies. But if you do come back, we're going to be really fucking rooting for you, man. Yep. So
and we have to have you back when you come back to talking about all the stories.
Yeah, I'll have some blackout drunk stories.
Oh,
sure.
Good.
No, but thank you.
Getting
you very
blackout
much.
Drunk in Canada is a whole different story to getting blackout drunk.
Yeah, that Crown Royal, that's dangerous shit.
Our friend Derek knows about Crown Royal.
Oh, jeez.
No, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, hopefully Canada works out for me. And if it doesn't, you'll see me back in Perth. Nah, Perth's good. Love Perth.
All right, then.
Just made 20 enemies.
20 enemies. There's 20 of them.
Cool. Thank you very much for hitting that download button and listening into us today. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/drawingheatpod.
You never remember that.
I can never remember which one it's meant to be.
Yeah, on the Twitter at drawingheat_pod. Instagram, same address, keeping it simple.
All that stuff.
All the good stuff. Share the episode. Give us a review on iTunes. The more reviews we get, the higher up we go, the more people see us, and the more people hate us after listening to us.
And the more warm and fuzzies we get.
We love getting warm and fuzzies. And if you do that and share review this particular episode, Bodie McKenzie gets these angel wings, and he has 400 less squats to do when he gets to Calgary.
And don't forget to tweet it to Lance Storm as well.
Yes, Lance T Storm, people. At Lance.
Please don't do that.
Lance Storm.
I'm turning his microphone off now. Please do that.
Yep, you're shut off, Bodie McKenzie.
He has no say.
Go home, you're drunk.
And thank you very much for listening. And don't forget, we're not like the other guys.
But we do know wrestling. And it's not just wrestling to us.
It's life.
sun, laughing, having fun with all the people that she knows. And if the situation should keep us separated, you know the world won't fall apart. And you will free the beautiful bird that's caught inside your heart. Can't you hear her? She cries so loud. That's the wild note over water and cloud.
That's the way it's gonna be, little darling. We'll go riding on the horses, yeah. Way up in the sky, little darling. And if you fall, I'll pick you up, I'll pick you up.
You will grow, and until you go, I'll be right there by your side. And even then, whisper the wind, and she will carry up your right. I hear all the people of the world, in one bird's lonely cry. See them trying every way they know how to make their spirit fly. Can't you see? Down on the ground, so broken wing, looking all around. That's the way it's gonna be, little darling. You go riding on the horses, yeah. Way up in the sky, little darling. Oh, and if you fall, pick you up, pick you up. That's the way it's gonna be.
Hey, I'm Will, the host of the podcast From the Sidelines, proud members of the FNX network. I'm here to tell you why you should listen to our show. Do you need a comprehensive look over all the sporting happenings in the world on a weekly basis? Then you need From the Sidelines. Me and the guys discuss the bizarre, the serious, and the downright weird in sport every week. Seriously, one week we talked about jousting. It was so weird. If you love sport, you'll love our show. So come and join us as we look at sport from the sidelines.